Cue the music. Let's do the Phenology Show. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is, of course, the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And, of course, this time of year, I think everybody's attention is being grabbed by the multiple colors that are out there. I personally feel that the peak of the reds has passed. And you may recall I had said several times over the past several weeks that I thought this was going to be an extremely red fall because we had lots of rain and lots of sunshine, an ample opportunity for plants to store a lot of sugars. And what happens in that case is that the scene is set for lots of reds, and the trees this time of year, they're drawing back the chemicals from the leaves, nitrogen and phosphorus most predominantly, and they're going to use that, they're going to store it in their branches and use it as a jump start for new leaves in the spring. But when they pull the phosphorus and the nitrogen out of the leaf, it allows the leaf then to trigger the production of anthocyanins, which are the reds, and they come about after the tree has withdrawn these other chemicals. They then can turn the leaf of a fairly stunning shade of red. And as I sit here and talk to you about this, I'm looking out the window at a big woodbine vine that has climbed up an unknown tree. I can't tell the species of the tree that it's in, but the students and I have been noticing the woodbine, and I'm sure that you have probably noticed woodbine as well. This time of year, it is turning red, and if you have a balsam or a spruce or maybe a Norway or a white pine in your yard, and you have a woodbine vine growing up that tree, you're going to see this splash of red color amidst all of the green of the needles. So look for the woodbine. They're going to be continuing their trip into the red. Also, this time of year, some red oaks get quite red, most particularly the red oak that is known as the northern pin oak becomes quite red. They get very red this time of year. And so if you're seeing reds now, chances are, with the exception of this few maples here and there, on the tree end of things, that is, the oaks, the northern pin oaks and the red oaks are probably going to be your reds. Shrub level, round leaf dogwoods, arrowwood, nannyberry, pagoda dogwoods, American hazel, all of those are red. The hazels are losing their leaves, and oddly enough, if I look back in my records, it's very consistent. It's almost always right around the 1st of October that the leaves on the hazel fall. And if you're a bird hunter, if you're a grouse hunter, this is the time of year when you finally can see the birds in flight after they flush. And speaking of ruffed grouse, yesterday I was driving up to work in the bog, and along one of the gravel roads on the way up there stood this male grouse, tail fanned, ruff erected. He was definitely displaying. He was doing what grouse would do in the spring when they are trying to attract a female. And this is obviously not that time of year, but this is the time of year when the grouse covey, the family of grouse that the mother has been taking care of all summer, begin to disperse. And as the young male birds disperse, they're looking for territory. And they want a place with a log where they can drum in the spring. And a lot of those places are occupied by male grouse from other generations or from other broods. And the competition for these sites often causes the grouse to put on these very manly displays, very masculine displays, in an effort to secure a good site for their drumming in the spring. So if you happen across a grouse right now that is showing off, more than likely his intent is to claim a drumming spot from perhaps another grouse that has occupied the same area. I had the distinct pleasure, and I say this because I don't see this very often, but I had the distinct pleasure of seeing an American magpie along Blue Heron Road where I live. And I have not seen one. I can't recall seeing one along Blue Heron Road ever. And the other day, there happened to be one out there, and this large, you know, bigger than a crow, or bigger than a blue jay, smaller than a crow, black and white bird was quite welcome to my eyes. I saw what may be the last of the garter snakes. My friend Scott Hall, a name familiar to many of you, had mentioned that garter snakes were out on the roads. Ed Dallas had the same comment this morning. Lots of little garter snakes out on the roads. Drive carefully. The garter snakes are they sun a little bit in order to warm up some before they crawl off for their hibernation. And years ago, I used to think that that was an effort to get warm enough to go out and eat something before they went into hibernation. But in fact, eating something this time of year would be lethal to a snake because their digestive process is so slow that once they entered hibernation, that food would rot in their gut and they would die. So it is not an effort to increase their metabolism. It's an effort to just warm up a little bit before they crawl into the ground and spend the winter amongst their friends waiting for spring. This was the week that the aspens and the big tooth aspens, the trembling aspens and the big tooth aspens began to change color. I started the week last Tuesday with an observation that about 5% of the leaves on the big tooth aspen and the quaking aspen in my yard were beginning to turn yellow. And as I watched through the week, the number of colored leaves increased and increased and increased. And as with the maples, and because of that same rich and fruitful summer that we had, the big tooth aspens, as they turn in the fall, they are going to throw out some reds. And I have seen them get as bright as blaze orange. But through the last couple of days, I've been looking at the big tooth aspens, and they're all kind of shifting. Rather than going yellow, they're going toward orange. So watch the big tooth aspen. They are going to be absolutely stunning this fall, and that will be one of the next things that's going to be really fun to look at. The tamaracks are beginning to change color, not rapidly, but and they will cling to their needles well into mid-October, but that is beginning, and you can see it if you're looking at the tamaracks in the swamps around you. This is the time of year when you're going to see the last of the flying insects. I saw a mourning cloak butterfly this past week and a blue darner dragonfly, and you may have seen some dragonflies or other insects this week, but that is soon to be a thing of the past. Among the flowers that I've been observing this past week are all of the asters, not all of the asters, but a lot of the asters are still in bloom. The flat-topped aster is done, but there's still lots of smooth aster, eastern-lined aster, calico aster. I can't recall any others right off the top of my head, but lots of asters are still in bloom. I found an evening primrose still in bloom. And, that's what I have on my list, and I'm sure there are others. Bunchberry leaves, the little Canada, Cornus canadensis, is turning red. The the pagoda dogwood, I mentioned earlier that it turns red. I have one in my yard that's exposed to the sun and kind of out in the open, and it is almost done. The leaves were a deep burgundy this past week, and many of them have fallen off up to now. But I have another one that's growing on the edge of my driveway in the shade, and it is still green. So aspect has a lot to do with color. I mentioned that the American and beaked hazel are about to drop their leaves for the year, and you may, if you're lucky, get a chance to hear some great horned owls calling. I heard a pair the other night calling quietly, kind of back and forth, not loud, not boisterous, but just kind of calling back and forth, one a little deeper than the other, which I assumed was the male and the female. And not last night, the night before last, a barred owl was outside my window, and it was shrieking and screaming. It wasn't the who cooks for you. It was shrieking and screaming, and I'm not sure what that was all about, but it certainly brought me out of my slumber and had me listening very carefully to what was going on outside the door. And the other day, I think it was Sunday, I was sitting in the chair there by the window and kind of watching out the window, and the eagles, all three, well, I don't know if they're the three that nest near my house or not, but there were two adults and a juvenile eagle that flew through the yard. They were escorted by a phalanx of ravens who were calling out and harassing them. The eagles seemed, I would say, indifferent at most. I mean, they just seemed to ignore the ravens. Even though the ravens swooped close to them, they just kind of passed without any thought. And while I was watching that, a little, I don't know if it was a merlin or a sharp-shinned hawk, but a small raptor flew into the mix, and right away a raven broke off and chased that. So the ravens were, I don't know if they were claiming territory or if they were just feeling frisky and wanted to harass everybody who came into the neighborhood, but it was pretty interesting. Around my yard, lots of white-throated sparrows, a fox sparrow or two, some song sparrows, and yesterday my first junco. And of course, the junco is that gray bird, gray above, white below. But when it flies, the outside tail feathers are white. And I think there are two on each side. But just know that when you see this bird in flight, look at its tail. If you see that the tail is outlined in white and it's a small sparrow-sized bird, it is more than likely a junco. Lots to look at this time of year. Get outside, take it all in, and enjoy it, because it is it's changing pretty fast, and you're going to miss it if you don't look at it now. That's the Phenology Show for this week. We'll be back again next week. You can